Five Geeks. Five Opinions. One Podcast. Nerdgasm Noir Network. Where we do nerd shit.
Welcome to Nerdgasm Noir Network. It's me, Dee, and I'm here with Jamie, JP, Kia, and Melissa, and we're here to talk about nerd shit. How are you ladies doing?
Great. Okay. Super.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Turned down for what?
But I'm a little bit miffed by Jamie doing her slandering on Twitter.
What is she doing on Twitter? Because I didn't even see. What does she do?
Slandering.
Why, Jamie?
Zodiac slander. I'm picking up where our friend Sassy Crass has left off. I am slandering members of the Zodiac, and it's fun for me. So yes.
And what exactly is your Zodiac sign, Jamie?
That's irrelevant to this conversation. That's what it is.
I'm sorry. We're talking about Zodiac signs, and
her
your
birthday
Zodiac
is January
is
5th. January 5th, so what are you?
Capricorn?
That, perhaps.
Aquarius?
Does anybody even care about that sign?
Yeah, plenty of people do.
Really, the most important sign is Sagittarius.
Whoa.
I guess Scorpios. Man.
Let's not get too hasty.
Leos are cool. I don't know. People talk about Libras. I don't know nothing about no Libras.
Let me tell you about Libras.
Got yourself in trouble.
First of all, before you can talk about Libra, who in your life is a Libra, Jamie?
I was raised by a Libra.
Oh. Yeah, Libra moms are the worst.
I spent the first 23 years of my life with a Libra. I know.
And what did she do to you? What did she do to you?
What is she doing to me now? I'm just saying. Okay, so it's not so much Libra women, because you guys are solid for the most part, even though my mom drove me crazy and continues to drive me crazy, God bless her.
Drive you crazy how exactly, though? That's what I want to know.
Okay, so she was super overbearing. Like, my mom was the type of mom who had the numbers to everywhere, every place you'd ever been, and every person you'd ever come in contact with, because she was super overprotective and thought that, you know, it's going to either, you know, fall into a ditch somewhere or get kidnapped. So there was that.
Well, yeah, look at you.
What?
Well, considering what you've done to all of your phones.
Really? Really? I was a very careful girl. Anyway, but no,
you just didn't grow up that way. Got it. Continue.
Oh, wow. You know what? No, I'm just saying. She's a little overbearing. What's the word I'm looking for? Because I'm trying to be nice, and my mom, not like my mom listens anyway, but she's a little racist. She was an accidental racist. Well, actually that's not true. She was a fucking racist on purpose. She is a racist. She's an intentional racist. Just, you know, really, she's a very colorful person when it comes to talking about white people and Asians and
anybody not
Latinos.
Black?
Yeah, anybody that's not black. But they get even some black folks, depending on how they...
Well, I was going to say, because, like, my mother, Well, no, not my mom so much as my, like, grandparents and great-grandparents. They were they had very interesting things to say about white people, but that's because they grew up in, like, the 20s to the 60s. Like, yeah, you're going to have some very colorful things.
Yeah. And my mom, you know, my mom is a product of that era. So of course, she's going to have things to say. And man, does she ever have things to say. Also, my mother, as she's gotten older, has become super impatient with, you know, wanting things when she wants them, because I call it her, you know, going through her second adolescence, because she's 75 going on 15, and will tell you in a heartbeat, you know, like if you deny her something or if you tell her to wait for it, she'll, you know, tell you very, very, with using very strong language, that she doesn't have to wait for shit because she's 75. She does what the fuck she wants.
That's called.
And don't you forget it.
Yeah. I don't know if you understand this, but that's just how old people work.
Yeah, no. I know how old people work because I'm well versed in old. I'm old, so I know how.
I was going to say, because you're one of them.
Yeah, but this particular old person, like.
Oh, let me tell you about how my daddy, me and my dad, I took my dad and my sister to go see Thor, right? So we get to the movie theater. And my dad was talking mess the whole way to the movie theater. It's the movie theater, and I walk up to the register, and I go, how old you got to be to get a senior discount? And the dude was like, 55. And I was like, so I want two regular tickets and a senior discount ticket. My dad was like, I'll take a senior discount. He's going to have to ask for my ID. And dude was like, no, you got it's cool, guy. I don't need it. I laughed so hard. He ain't going to check your ID, daddy, because you already look old.
Right. But
my dad's so cheap, he took that discount though.
Right.
It's like, whatever.
So,
see,
I was trying to get my mom the discount, but she was like, it's only 50 cents less. What kind of fucking discount is this? Well, she
right.
didn't say fucking, but I know that's because she paused, which meant that she was thinking of cursing, but she did, so.
Man, the theater out here, the senior discount is $2 whole. It goes, well, actually, no, it's $2.50. It goes from $7.50 to $5 for seniors.
Ma'am, did you not hear when I said the senior discount was 50 cents?
Yeah.
You gonna what the fuck you got to do with a 50 cent discount, though? That's insulting. First
yeah,
of all,
you know who's that? Nothing from the concession stand. Maybe you could get a soda later from a vending machine.
What? No.
And my sister always wants popcorn. She doesn't even eat she gets the largest fucking popcorn she could possibly get. She's not going to eat it all. But she eats half of it. She eats half of it, but because they give you free refills, she will, when we're leaving the theater, she will go get the refill as we're leaving. Knowing she's not going to eat all that popcorn at the house. Why? Why? Why is she wasting popcorn?
It's the principle.
Because it's free.
Really, that's what it is. She's my father's child. But anyway, I have digressed, and so have the rest of us. So I'm going to start this off like we always start this off and say thank you to everybody who has, is, and will be donating. We very much appreciate it. If you want to know how to do that, wait, is the sidebar back up?
Is it?
No.
Let's ask Langston. No.
Okay. Langston has decided that it's his show and nobody else's. So since the sidebar is not up, I'm going to tell you exactly how you're going to do this. You're going to go to donateyouraccount.com/nerdgasmnoir and you're going to donate us your Twitter account. That way, whenever we post up an episode of the show, there's a nifty little button that we click. And so when we post it, you automatically retweet it and it's all good. Also, you can donate money to our PayPal account. It's usually located on nerdgasmnoir.net. But currently the donate button's not there. So just send us some money to nerdgasmnoirnetwork@gmail.com. Give us cash.
The donate button is there. It just.
Oh, wait. Never mind. The donate button is there. Just go to nerdgasmnoir.net and click the donate button. You like how I fixed that? Super quick.
It would be nice if you actually look at the sidebar.
No, I was just on the site like 2 minutes ago and I didn't even think to check. And I don't want to be all click, 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 because then you guys are like, we can hear you tapping. But then again, I could really just blame it on Melissa. So it's all good. Also, if you want to know how to follow us on all the social networks, we're on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Google+, Goodreads, Pinterest. You can find it on nerdgasmnoir.net. Down at the bottom, we have little icons for where you can follow us. And then maybe someday soon, we'll have the sidebar back. I miss you, nifty, handy-dandy sidebar.
The sidebar is there. It's just the icons are at the bottom now. So, yeah.
Things have moved, you guys. And I'm a weird girl, so I'm not coping well. But you can find the information on the website. You can also find out how to download our show. You can download us on iTunes. You can listen to us on Stitcher. You can take the RSS feed and put it in whatever you like to listen to things on and stick that in there and listen to us there. Pretty much any way you want to listen to us, you can listen to us. So please, listen to us. We like talking at you, internet, the worldwide internet. It's fun times. Also, if you want to talk back to us, or if you want to tell me your mom jokes, or corny jokes, or if you want to squee about Scandal, or squee about Sleepy Hollow, especially last week's episode where Ichabod... No, this week's episode where Ichabod discovered porn, which was hilarious. Give us a call at 312-574-0591. Leave us a voicemail. Say funny things. We want to hear from you. Anything else, ladies?
We're going to be taking a break for the month of December.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, we're taking a break the week of Thanksgiving also. So,
there's too many holidays going on between Thanksgiving and New Year's, and my birthday being one of those. Thank you very much. Nobody's excited? Fine, whatever. So, there's a lot of stuff going on in December, so we decided to take a hiatus from the podcast from the last week of November to what? We're coming back the second week of January?
Sure.
Well, because New Year's is on a Wednesday, isn't it?
On a Wednesday?
Is it?
Yeah, New Year's is on a Wednesday. So we're not going to want a podcast. We're going to be at New Year's Eve parties being turned up.
Some of us will be at home.
So yes, some of us will be at home praising Jesus.
You do not bring Jesus into your... No, Jamie.
Where did I bring Jesus into, dear?
Praising Jesus.
Even though we're taking a break from recording live, we will still be around on Twitter.
We'll definitely still be around on Twitter. We'll still be live tweeting shows. Hopefully I will get the balls to write another article for the website. Because, yeah. I only write once every 6 months. Also, we actually may have some surprise shows because I know I'm going to need my fix. And also I like to just talk to these girls at random. So if a show pops up on the feed, listen to it because we're probably being goofy as shit. Sorry.
Yeah, also, we come back around my birthday. Yay! Just throw that out there. You have at least a month's worth of, a couple months' worth of shopping days left until my birthday. So, yeah. Buy me a pony.
If you get your shopping done early, because I know you're going to want to hit those Black Friday sales, send her presents to me, because my birthday's a month before hers, exactly, and I'll be able to give her her gifts. Totally going to do that.
This is what I think of you and Jamie trying to plug your birthdays.
Is there a way that we can take the soundboard away from her?
Is it too late to retro plug my birthday and ask for time travel gifts?
Oh yeah, your birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday. Thank you. Thank you and Miss Nikki Stiletto.
Wait, T-O-N.
What?
Is that a new thing?
What do you mean?
What's T-O-N?
I thought you just said T-O-N.
No, I said to Nikki Stiletto.
Oh, I was going to say, wait.
The same birthday. Happy birthday, Nikki Stiletto!
Just not paying attention to a damn thing.
No, not really.
I really thought that T-O-N was a new thing, and you guys are going to let me know what it's stuff for.
Oh, God. No back.
I hope it becomes a thing, and I'll never tell you what it stands for, ever.
It's a bit rude.
Well, I like messing with you. You know that.
What does it stand for?
I'm not telling you.
Rude.
You'll be fine. Anyway, we have Nerdtastic news! It's November, and earlier this year, the PS4 and the Xbox One were battling over who was cooler than the other one. Apparently, you don't want to buy either yet, because they're just coming out this month, and so of course there's going to be flaws. So many flaws.
And plus, the games that are the ones to get are not going to be even out yet.
What? Yeah, like they. It seems to me like one of the issues with games coming out, like they all come out like in November for the Christmas season or whatever, but they come out right after a bunch of new games for the previous console came out. So what's there's really the only desire to buy them is to have that new thing, because I still have a shit ton of games to play for like your Xbox 360 or your.
No, they do that to remind you that they'll still be making games for the old system, but it's also to remind you that this is the old system. We won't be doing this forever, so get the new system.
But you guys, if I don't want my Xbox One to be connected to the internet all the time, I should just play my 360.
I mean, that's what they said, so.
Until they went back on that. Did they change? They changed that, right? They're not going to be doing that anymore.
Back and forth. I don't even know.
No, the thing about it is after the, after, what was it? It was so long ago. Not really, it was only a few months. Why am I so old? I'm like 80. At E3, when PlayStation talked all that shit, Xbox, like, immediately after was like, okay, we're not really going to do the things that it was rumored that we're going to do. So they went back on a lot of that stuff, but I don't know. Right. I still think I'm going to get a PS4.
Right, and also, like, both the Xbox One or X-Bonus people have been calling it, and the PS4 are not going to be backward compatible, so
they're not going to do backwards compatible for anything anymore from now on. It sucks.
Yes, but it does, because now you have to keep both systems if you want to intend to play, especially like you said, all the new games that just came out.
You got to play
them for the old system, right? You got to keep it just so you can play them,
right?
And then those same new games,
rebuy them, which. What the hell?
And those same new games that's supposed to come out for next gen are not going to be out till next year.
Exactly. So, but like, here's the thing. I didn't get a PS3. That's the last one. What comes before 4, Diana? 3. Duh. I don't know what's wrong with me today. But I didn't get a PS3. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a PS4. But really, I should just wait.
And also, I think some of the, what is it? Sorry, my brain just, some of the online streaming services are not going to be available at launch.
Really?
Yeah, for the PS4.
Dude, what's the point?
And I think the Xbox One, their streaming, online streaming is not, you know, in a finished state yet, so that's another reason why to wait. So,
well, yeah, whenever the new consoles come out, like the first generation of consoles that they have coming, or the first generation, you guys understand what I mean. The first generation of consoles they have coming out is usually kind of iffy, except for the freaking PS3. The PS3, the first generation one, was great.
They fantastic. I still got that one.
Why was that shit like $800? Why didn't I have $800 to get that shit? Oh, it was the best thing. The best thing. But yeah, so like usually the first generation is like a little faulty. And then they work out all the kinks when they come out with like the next year's batch of PS whatevers. But everybody knows this. This is like the usual. So I'm not really shocked. I'll probably get both. I do want to get a Wii U, though, because the new Mario game looks fun as hell. That's how they keep getting you. God damn it, Nintendo.
Yep.
Those adorable Mario games. Also, is there a new Smash Brothers coming out soon?
That's what they keep saying. I have yet to see it, though.
I want a new Smash. I love Smash Brothers. I want a new one.
Also, like, another reason to wait is, like, we'll see what rumors are
true really and what true aren't
at launch. So when all those early adopters get it and start bitching about a particular thing, then you know what to avoid.
That's true. I'm gonna have to pay attention for the next couple months to see which one I'm gonna get first. I'm gonna spoil myself, you guys. I'm gonna get both and a Wii U. Where am I gonna get all this money?
Right, that's the question I want to answer.
I'm just gonna stick to getting a Wii U.
I like the Wii.
And I'll wait out the other two.
Well, here's the thing. The problem with these game consoles is there's a game on each of those that I really, really, really... Well, maybe not the PS4. I don't really have something I really, really want to get that's only going to... Wait. No, yeah, I don't have anything I really, really want to get that's only going to be on the PS4. Because isn't Kingdom Hearts coming to Xbox One?
Okay, see, here's another thing. A lot of the...
Exclusive games are only exclusive for, like, the first 6 months.
Well, not even that. It's just... If you okay, yeah, for the first 6 months, but the turnaround time of their some are gonna be on both consoles damn near the same time,
right?
So I think some games or game companies are just like, you know what, I understand you like this exclusive crap, but we gonna go a different direction right now. So
yeah, like. I want to get a Wii U because I want that Mario game and I want Smash Brothers. And that's more feasible because the Wii U is like, what, $200 right now? $250?
I think it's $299.
Yeah.
The Wiis are always much cheaper. The Xbox One is the more expensive of the ones because you got to get the Kinect. But, you guys, I am addicted to the dance games. I can't help it. So I'm gonna have to get an Xbox One for the dance games.
Just for the dance game?
Well, no, I like the other games too. But you guys, when Just Dance 5, I think it's on now. Just Dance is on 5. I think it's on 5. Just Dance 5, and then the other one. What was the other one? I have it around here somewhere. But when they come out, I have to play them. Those are the games that I play, like, with my family. I'm a dork. I'm sorry. Moving on.
Right now, the Wii U is, like, $299. But I think I'm going to wait till Black Friday, see what happens.
It'll be, like, $250. Yeah. Or if you're lucky, you'll get it for $2, but you might have to fight an old lady for it.
I can do that.
I can just see that fight. Wow.
But most likely my fight will be on the internet, so.
Yeah. All right, moving on. So, this article right here, the what makes some fandoms more successful than others, what's that one about? Because I didn't read it, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's my fault.
So, on Mashable, they wrote an article talking about how the fandom behind Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not really in not really have a big presence.
Because does it really have a fandom? Because it's so boring.
That's a problem. Like when you think about shows like Supernatural, they have a really big fandom. Like Sherlock, even Elementary has a fandom, and they make themselves known. Just look at on, like, they use an example on Tumblr. Things like on Tumblr, you barely see anything about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so they brung up this question, what makes a fandom more successful? What qualities does a show need to have to create a interactive fandom? Like, look at Sleepy Hollow. On Twitter, man, Sleepy Hollow, that tag be popping.
Sleepy Hollow and Scandal have, like, the most popular tags on Twitter.
Right. So, they kind of made some suggestions on why certain fandoms like Scandal and Supernatural has such a big following. So, one of the things that they mentioned was that have an interesting character relationship.
That's the first thing I was going to say. Like, if the characters are, like, if the characters and their relationships with each other are boring, nobody cares. Because that's the problem with S.H.I.E.L.D. Everybody's so freaking boring.
And even because they're still kind of two-dimensional, you don't have anyone who have some sort of deep relationship with each other. So
it's trying to imply that Ming-Na and I don't know her character's name that Coulson and Ming-Na's
Agent Coulson?
Yeah, Agent Coulson and Ming-Na, it's trying to imply that they have a deeper relationship, sorta. Yeah. But they're not doing a good job of it.
They're not. Yeah. And I guess the potential romance between Sky and Agent Tight-Ass, I don't know his name either.
the no, buff no, one there's a big buff relationship.
One yeah
he's got an actor chick.
I wish he would be something more than buff and dumb.
Yeah, that would work for me.
Like, that's really what he's like, the quintessential buff and dumb character, and I don't care. He's not even like a quirky dumb like Thor. Thor is dumb but not really dumb, he just doesn't understand how Earth works,
right?
So, this guy is just buff and dumb.
Right, because think about, you know, Elementary. You have the relationship between Sherlock and Holmes. And even in, well, any type of Sherlock show or movie. Supernatural, you have the two Winchester brothers. Scandal, you have different relationships.
Of everyone.
Right, you have the relationship between Olivia with the president and her relationship with her team.
Mm-hmm.
It just, even in Sleepy Hollow, the relationship between Ichabod and, why do I keep, see, I don't remember her freaking character name.
So
I keep
Abby. Abby.
Abby.
Yes, I keep calling her Nicole, so, because that's the name.
But, no, but like, there, the you feel the connection between the characters. Because here's the thing I saw in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Your child is like, fuck this.
I'm not here for this conversation, damn
it. I'm sorry. But
fuck, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Sorry.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sucks! I'm a toddler. My favorite character in anything is Hard Hat Harry, and I'm not here for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. No, but in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, even with Fitz and what's-her-face, the British chick, like... Yeah.
Simmons. That's Fitz and Simmons. See how that's supposed to be really adorable, but it's really not?
Yeah. But even they feel like the closest characters to each other, and they have the most connection of anybody in the show.
Yeah, but you still don't care about them.
Right,
you don't care
they're
about
still
any
kind
of these
bland
characters.
Like, you know? that episode where the disease was making their brains explode and then float in the air or whatever. I was like, okay, well, I guess she's gonna die. Next.
Oh well. Right. I'm just kinda like, oh, okay. And like, I feel like you have Ming-Na, you have what's his face who plays
Clark Grant?
Yes. And
why is he not as charismatic as he was in all of the other movies that he was in? For
it could be the writing.
It is the writing.
Well, I would have been interested more so in a relationship between him and whoever Colby Summers played. That seemed interesting in the movies.
Oh, Maria, what is her last name? I can't remember her last name.
I only know her as Robin, so.
Well, because you love How I Met Your Mother. I can't believe I just forgot her last name. But, you know, her and him weren't really like, well, because she's supposed to be more Nick Fury's.
Sidekick, yeah.
So, but even still, I would have rather. No, because I don't really like Colby's face.
Why don't you like Colby's face?
I mean, they have to have a romantic relationship, but.
No!
To have more of a, even when he, I'm flashing back to when he died on the Avengers, and she seemed a bit broken up about it.
Well, everybody was broken up about it because that's what Coulson was. He was the person everybody loved,
right?
Except for Captain America.
Found out he's a robot yet?
No. Sure. Here's the thing: he has this scar, right?
Oh yeah, robot scar.
Right, no, he has a scar, right? So that's supposed to be like, oh, this is your clue that he may be a zombie. Or me and my sister are dead set on him being a zombie. Or this is your clue.
Right, that's the girl who was the bad guy who lost her eye said something's different about Coulson.
Right.
She asked, what did they do to him?
Right.
The one who could see beyond seeing or whatever her power was.
Right, so he shows you the scar, so where Loki shoved the thing through him. So you're supposed to be like, oh yeah, this is the real Coulson. But the writing's so terrible that it didn't faze me at all. I was like, oh, this is your obvious ploy to try and get me to think that Coulson is real. How wonderful.
Right. And so it's not even about, you know, that the two characters have to have a romantic relationship, because they also brung up the Avengers, how they had a big fandom around that, and
nobody had a romantic relationship.
Right. So, next thing that a show should have is world building. So if the world that this show is in is not believable, or at least have some basis in, well, not, it have to have a basis in reality, but that the reality on that show is makes sense.
It has to have its, like, it has to have its own physics.
Right. So like in Supernatural, you know, you put salt around a circle.
No ghosts can come in. No demons can come in.
Right, right.
Those are the rules in Supernatural.
Right. And they make sure you understand this rule every time they use it.
Yeah.
So
do not deviate from the rule or you die.
So it's not like all of a sudden that they come across Wendigo, whatever it's called, and suddenly they use the salt. You'd be like, wait. But in the other show, they didn't use salt against it, so like they don't use salt for everything. Like salt is for a particular type of monsters,
right? And fairies,
I guess so.
Also fairies.
Is there a fairy episode of Supernatural? Because I'm really searching my head now.
Right.
Kind of beat up Dean a little bit. It's kind of hard to punch something that's
okay. Is that a new episode?
No, that was...
Oh, one, like, it's an older episode.
Yeah, older episode.
I'm going to have to go back through the episodes of Supernatural.
Actually, I think... Well, that's a lot of episodes that show has been
on. No, that's why my heart got sad.
I don't want to go back that far. Actually, I think what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. suffers from is that it's trying to fit normal people, normal, boring-ass people in a world that's already built and amazing. Like... The Marvel.
I mean, but truthfully, isn't that what S.H.I.E.L.D. is? S.H.I.E.L.D. is just a bunch of normal people. That's kind of its whole point.
But even the normal people in S.H.I.E.L.D., like Black Widow, she's a normal person. She doesn't really have superpowers, but she's still interesting.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, so they brung up the example Inception, So those characters are just regular normal people. They're just doing, they're just in a world that's amazing, a dream world that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not boring characters. You know, they're not, at least not most of them. The people that we need to know about are not two-dimensional. Like, we kind of understand their motivations. We kind of understand their relationship with each other. We that understand, you know, the reality that they're in. Like, they don't have to tell us what their reality is. They show us. So it's a mix of they show us, it's through conversation, it's world building. Like, they also brought up Harry Potter. Like, Harry Potter, and how it was so much detailed information in that world through description, through character interaction, that fans of the book can make fanfic about that world and not have to just be relegated to those characters.
So what you're saying is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fanfic is
lessening.
That's why the show will never prosper.
I think that's one of my favorite things about this article is that it really it validates fan fiction. Because that helps a fandom. Like,
it does.
You need it.
Right.
If you nobody writing fan fiction about your show, go home.
Right. The next thing they said, I was kind of gave a side eye to, but saying that you need two white guys. So I don't know if they was being tongue in cheek.
What?
They have to be tongue in cheek because Elementary has an Asian chick.
Right, and they mentioned that too. They're saying like
Sleepy Hollow has more black people in it than Bon Ton.
So they kind of
that's not saying much though.
They kind of say this tongue in cheek because some of the other fandoms, especially like Supernatural and Teen Wolf and stuff like that, or even Vampire Diaries, where you have two white guys, and it's always this explosion of fanfic about those two white guys in homoerotic situations.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's what
they're saying is you don't really need two white guys. You just need to be able to have fanfic with homoerotic situations.
Yeah, pretty much. Or at least, you know.
That, see, look. Buff dumb guy and Fitz don't make a cute couple.
Well, nobody wants to see that.
That is very true. I'm so upset that Agent Coulson, because I can't seem to speak today, isn't as interesting in the show as he is in the movies. Like, what the shit?
Right. Like, what happened?
See, he's not even as interesting as he is as a real person on Twitter. Like, what the fuck? Right.
Because of the writing. The writing is just really fiction. Not...
It's trying too hard.
And I don't know how... I don't think... Joss is hands-on, really, right?
No,
I mean,
he only did the first episode.
Yeah, and it shows.
But never underestimate the power of male-on-male ships, people.
There's nothing really to ship for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
That's why I'm failing.
Because, like, one of the big things under the paragraph about two white guys was that you need some type of relationship to slash. Like, if you can't make any slash fiction, and that kind of goes back to you need interesting character relationships.
Yeah.
Well, I remember I saw on Tumblr with Elementary, they were slashing Detective Bell and Sherlock.
Because ever since somebody pointed that out to me, that's the best thing. Because they're hilariously adorable together.
I'm going to start watching Elementary again.
Also because he calls all the other detectives at the agency not Belle.
Yeah. He does.
They're made for each other, you guys.
So. And the same thing can be said, I think, for female-female slash. Because one of the interesting things, well, the only interesting thing about Warehouse 13 for a while was the slash of the lead female character whose name I can't remember anymore, and I've watched like at least two seasons of Warehouse 13, so I feel bad. And H.G. Wells, who turned out to be a woman. If you watch Dexter, she's known as Excuse My Tits.
I don't think that's her actual name, I'm just saying.
But that's what she
that's on her birth certificate, you guys.
But it's important to make up relationships. I mean, it's especially if it's you have to dig for it, because it gives fans work to do.
Well, here's the thing. If the relationship is shippable, right? If you can ship these people together, that means there's an actual connection between them. Even if it's not really a connection on the show, even if on the show they really are just friends, like in Sleepy Hollow, Ichabod and Abby are really just friends. But there's a connection there.
If they had one night of drinking, just one night of drinking,
it just cost the fans a little bone.
But see, now I have the ship of Belle and Sherlock in my freaking head.
It's great. I don't know.
I'm really going to start watching Elementary.
Elementary is actually really, really fun. So the turtle is adorable.
Now I'm thinking back to all the episodes, especially the episode when he was helping Belle solve the case about that involved his brother, Belle's brother. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a hard one. That's not the first, most of the first season.
Notice how this conversation is about how to prove Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and we're still not talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's the first
thing. Okay, the next thing that they said is gif-able content. So if you don't have any content that you can make a funny gif out of, then you might as well just pack it up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is
about,
true.
Think about Supernatural and Scandal. You know, if you go on the tag on Tumblr, there is like thousands of GIFs from particular episodes.
True.
Like, let me ask you, have we ever seen a GIF for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. pass our way?
I did see one.
You did?
Somebody did a little meme where, remember the first episode where it was the only time you'll see James Gunn?
Mm-hmm.
His son is asking him, why is everybody white? Oh, James Gunn's face.
That's
the age of... That's, well, we're not going to count that? Is that not a thing? Never going to...
I think that's pretty much everyone's reaction to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, the problem... I think the problem with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is it should have come out, like, a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
When most... Because, like... I feel like it's just bad timing. Also, terrible writing.
Terrible.
Mostly terrible writing. It's so bad. I feel like that and Dracula and what's that other show?
Grimm?
Grimm? Okay, Grimm still comes on.
Yeah.
I've heard Grimm got better, though.
Yeah, Grimm got better.
I don't see it.
Show on TV, but it's watchable now. Now, like, Arrow. I freaking love Arrow. Jamie?
It's a little bit ridiculous. I saw the first season recap. I'm still, like, confused. Like, what?
The first season of Arrow wasn't great. But it got better. It came into itself.
Is John Barrowman still there? Because it didn't look like it in that recap.
No, he's not still there.
Now, I don't see why I would watch it.
That's the only thing you care about.
Like, I'm that fan.
Like, you know what, Jamie? I don't care about anything you say, considering you was watching Single Ladies, so...
Okay, first of all, we all make mistakes,
nope,
okay?
Nope,
and
nope,
you
nope.
Make mistakes, that's a big old mistake.
You made that mistake for, like, two seasons.
Okay, first it was okay. So maybe it was like two seasons. Look, I'm not about to sit here and be lynched. You see what I did there? I made a mistake. I want to support, you know, black, you know, art, and I feel kind of bad about that.
Should feel bad about that. Can we talk about on Sleepy Hollow this week? How the best conversation ever happened. Ichabod and Abby and Irving are making these skulls to trick the Headless Horseman, right? And so Ichabod was talking about how great he thinks Thomas Jefferson is. So Irving goes like, really? How can you be cool with this guy when he's talking about all men are created equal when he owns slaves? And Ichabod was like, oh, he didn't really mean it, this, that, and the other. And he never heard about Sally Hemings. And his whole world just fell apart. It was the best conversation. It was the conversation that, like, it, for me, it felt like that's, Ichabod was the history that they teach you in school, right? And then, like, Irving and Abby were reality. And he was just crushed. He was just like, oh, but he's supposed to be a great guy. We were besties.
Right. He was what so happened? Faithful to his wife.
It was the best thing. It was the best thing.
So the next thing they said was important to create a great fandom is representation.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah. So just having diverse characters on your show will have a fandom rooting for you, i.e. Scandal. Sleepy Hollow.
Elementary.
Yep.
Shocking.
Like, even they mentioned the podcast Welcome to Night Vale. So you really don't know what the characters look like, but they all, you have all these fans creating their own versions of what they think these characters would look like. And it ranges from Cecil being a white Tim Gunn lookalike to being a Native American with long flowing hair. So
the different pictures of Cecil are is pretty much everything.
Yeah.
But one of the things about Great About Night Vale is it's very tongue in cheek about, because they had what is it, Indian Bob?
Oh, that guy. Yes. The asshole.
Yeah, they were like that asshole Indian Bob. And then when Indian Bob actually became Native American, they were like, does that make his actions before any less racist? No.
No.
They didn't even do, I think they said they did a monument to him, but they hid it somewhere.
Yeah.
Because they didn't support that type of shit.
Yeah, right. So like, one of the great things about Welcome to Night Vale is it's very aware, which is great. I love Welcome to Night Vale.
So Arco mentions how on paper, I can't talk today.
On paper?
Agency, Deanna, you.
Huh? What'd I do?
Because you couldn't talk, and now I can't talk. So,
I get to you.
Anyway, so they mentioned on paper, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. looks good. I mean, because you had first episode directed by Joss Whedon. You have a team of people dealing with, you know, sci-fi, superheroes type situations. You have a lead character, Agent Coulson, which has a huge fan following. And then you have the show is attached to a bigger universe, which is the Avengers universe in Marvel. Mm-hmm. And, but it just bloop, bloop. Just nothing. Just at the five episodes.
Which sucks because I want to like it.
Everybody wants to like it. Everybody wants Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to succeed, but it's fighting against it tooth and nail.
Right. And it's just at the five episodes, you just sit there and just think like, do I really want to do this to myself? I really want to like the show, like Kia mentioned.
But is it worth it?
Right. Is it worth sitting through this boring-ass show?
So. Answer to that is no.
Right. And I think, I don't know, maybe I read too much into this sentence, but there isn't even anyone to ship unless you're interested in the rather lackluster hints of romantic subtext between the Banley, good-looking Sky and Agent Ward.
No, I feel I'm like not.
It's shade, which it is because they're both boring. I don't care about their relationship. Not at all.
Not in the least bit. Welp. Yeah. Hopefully, I don't know what's going to happen to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think it's going to fail. I honestly do. And it's going to be sad. But what are you going to do? Moving on. Oh, hey, guess what? Me and JP did a thing.
What thing is that?
You gave it back to me! We did a special episode with Geek Soul Brother on their podcast. It was us versus the Black Geeks, where we talked about geeky shit. And it was really fun, so you should probably check it out. We'll put a link up. Also, if you're not listening to us, you're probably listening to Geek Soul Brother, which is cool, but we're totally cooler, so you should probably listen to us instead. I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm saying! Ours is live! Plug in a disc,
all in the same sentence. Wow.
I like Geek Soul Brother. He's cool people.
So I'm going to say disclaimer that Dee's opinions do not reflect that Nerdgasm Noir Network.
Don't start no damn war, Deanna. No.
This is kind of late, but there's a comment in the chat room that I think is hilarious.
What?
Someone said, Boondock says, wait, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a Whedon show? It'll be canceled soon.
No, see, here's the funny thing. This will probably be the only show that won't get canceled.
Oh,
and that will piss me off.
All of your good ones got canceled and then this stayed. All right, so we saw movies this weekend.
We did.
So which one do you want to talk about first? One of them I didn't see because I live in a racist area. Also because I don't have the heart for it.
I mean, and I can't blame you for that. I really, really can't. I can't blame folks for not seeing this movie because it's an absolutely brutal movie. So,
if you don't know what we're talking about 12 Years a Slave. Jamie went and saw it. Who else went and saw it this weekend?
JP and I saw it together.
I feel like I want to see it, but I think I'm going to wait till it comes out on DVD so that I can like pause it and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm going to need to pause it and walk away.
You might. There'll definitely be some moments when you want to pause it and walk away.
So, go ahead. If you guys want to talk about it.
I think you guys should cover the fluff first. And
feel like we should end with the happy shit.
Great.
It's a devastating movie. Everybody who I've seen talk about it, who's watched it, is like, my mom. My mom's best friend is white. And so my mom's best friend was like, let's go see 12 Years a Slave together. And my mom was like, you don't want me to go see that movie with you. She was like, oh, yeah. I think I'm going to see this. But everybody I know who's went and watched the movie, like, they've had, like, it's been an experience. It's not just I watched this movie and it was really intense, but, you know. Because I know even for me, even watching certain scenes in Django, I was like, I don't think I can handle this. So I definitely don't think I'm going to be able to deal with 12 Years a Slave unless it's, like, on DVD and I can pause it and stop it and, like,
reassess your life.
And eat cupcakes.
And you'll do that. Like, I think I came home and I really wanted to drink afterwards because it's just that...
heavy?
Yeah.
I needed a drink after that. But I solo for Starbucks, so...
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, like, I thought, when I was first watching a movie, well, before I watched the movie, was that it'll be like 15, 30 minutes before I start to feel angry or feel some kind of way during the movie. After that first scene, I was kind of feeling some kind of way. Because that first scene was kind of, I don't know, it was just the way that it started. And I don't know if this was their intention, but to kind of show that desperation, that need for a connection, and knowing that you won't be able to get that because you're not seen as human, kind of messed me up a little. Because I didn't need that to be the exact first thing. I mean, it wasn't anything, you know, that would give a major trigger warning, but I don't know. It just made me feel some kind of way. I don't know if you even remember that scene. Should I even describe it?
Go ahead.
So in the first scene, you see Solomon laying down. I guess he's trying to go to sleep, but he can't. And he turns over and he sees another black woman staring at him. And she just looks like she has this blank look on her face, like she's not really there. And mm-hmm. she grabs his hand and makes him touch her breasts. And she pretty much, you know, coaxes him into having intercourse with her. And it wasn't anything sexy. It wasn't anything, you know, it just felt like she was just doing it just to feel like she was still alive.
Yeah, like, I can see that.
Desperation in it. It wasn't tender. It was just pretty much, you know, I just need to feel something. And then she turned over, like it wasn't even a quick 5 minutes that she just turned over and you could just hear her crying.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. And I know, like, there's so much stuff to sort of unpack with, you know, how Solomon, who is Chiwetel's, the name of Chiwetel's character, treated women, or treated, you know, other slave women in his presence, and how at first he, I mean, you witness his breakdown. You witness him slowly break down and slowly resign himself to his fate over time. And because in the beginning he's all, you know, all we gotta do is tell these people who I am, they'll be fine, yada yada. And, you know, after being portrayed over and over again, he just sort of resigns himself to this fate. And just, you know, when he, you know, believes all is lost, then, you know, a friend from the north comes through and rescues him from his fate. But then you think about all the other people he left behind. You think about, I cannot remember the character's name for the life of me.
Patsy.
You think about Patsy. You think about how, you know, how she wound up, you know, where she, what happened to her after he left. You even think about, you know, what happened to the slave master and his wife, and the little girl, because there's a scene where, you know, the slave master, rents out a handful of slaves, Solomon among them, for the summer, because he can't, you know, make, he had a bad crop, so, you know, he can't use them. And they return to the plantation, and the slave master is, you know, he's holding the hand of this little black girl, and he's clearly grooming her to be molested. And you just, you know, it's like, wow. I mean, there were just so many of those moments. You think about the moment where, you know, when Solomon fought one of the overseers, and the overseer ran off and brought back a couple of his boys, and they were really going to string him up to teach him a lesson, and they strung him up. And, you know, another overseer, you know, told him to back off. You know, this is master's, this is the slave master's property, you know, I'll be forced to shoot you, whatever. And instead of taking him down, he just let him hang there.
Right.
throughout the day.
It was just a threat of shooting you and you will have to pay the debt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what got them to not string him up any higher.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, just going back to the slave master with the little girl, it kind of makes me wonder if the same thing was happened to Patsy. Because, like, when you see, when you observe the scenes where the slave master comes to visit Patsy, she just, it's like she just leaves her body.
Yeah, she has to. Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure it's happened to her. I mean, like, at some point, I'm sure it happened to her over and over again at some point. I think that probably wasn't the first time she was raped.
And the thing is, she gets raped and beaten by the slave master, and then she gets beat and abused by his wife. So 24/7 she has someone shitting on her. And it was, oh God, I was just like, oh, like at the end of that scene when, like, the friend of Norpet got Solomon, I'm just like, oh my God, I know this is not gonna happen, but I just wish
that he could take Patsy with him. Yeah. That you just wish that he would just grab for her and just fuck it, you know, we'll deal or whatever, but he can't do that. And I feel like, I mean, like, there are moments where Solomon, you know, kind of, he was a bit of an, you know, insensitive when it came to the you know, like the struggles of the women around him. Like I said, like when Patsy begged him to kill her, and he's like, you know, that's just melancholy talking or whatever. And then you cut to after the scene where he's forced to whip her, and the women are attending to her. And she looks up at him and just, you know, gives him that "you should have killed me" look. You really should have killed me.
Like, even the scene where, what's her name? Idina?
Was that the one with the two kids in the beginning, or towards the beginning of the...
Yeah. Yeah, so she had two kids, and she was split... she was split apart from them, and she was just depressed and crying like 24/7. And after a while, Solomon was like, just shut up, you know. And she was looking at him like, so I'm supposed to stop crying? Have you stopped crying for your kids? Have they not left your heart yet? Cause she looking at him like, just let me mourn, because I'm never gonna see my kids again. So it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was that, and then, you know, again, you see him you at first being defiant and attempting to fight it, and you know he confides in a white indentured servant who. He pays to send a letter off on his behalf, and of course, dude double crosses him. But it's really telling. This really perfect scene, like this, between him and the white indentured servant, in which he's listening to the indentured servant talk about how hard it was for him to be, because he was a former overseer. So about how it was so hard for him to be, you know, to beat these people, to, you know, to do his job, how it took a toll on him, and how he's just going on and on and on. And Solomon's kind of looking at him like, okay, but you actually, like, we actually get beaten. Like, you beat, but we actually want to bear the physical and mental scars of what you do, and I'm supposed to feel sorry for you somehow. Okay.
And it was funny, because right before the the white indentured servant was talking about how hard it was. Like every, I guess at the end of the day, how many pounds of cotton they pick is measured. So the white indentured servant got the least amount of cotton you could possibly get, and I don't even think he broke 100. But Solomon was like a little like under 200, but Solomon got beat because he didn't make over 200. And the white indentured servant, all he got was a pep talk, like, look, you know, picking cotton is hard, you know, just practice, you know, just try to improve yourself and blah, blah, blah.
Right. I mean, but like he's like, the kid pointed out, like, dude is indentured servant. I mean, he can beat this guy because he's, you know, well, almost equal. He's about as equal as he's going to get. Like,
he was seen as a human.
He was seen as human and not as a property. So, so yeah, I mean, he had to be nice to the guy. It's just, because that's still neat. There's so much to sort of
unpack.
He didn't think of himself as a bad guy. He thought of himself as a great guy, a great God-fearing guy.
Pretty much. Yeah, he did think of himself as a good guy. Like, he just, you know, he lost his way, and, you know, the effects of his job got to him, and you were supposed to somehow feel sympathetic to him because of it. But, I mean, I think that one scene really, when you think about it, it's the same, sort of the same conversations we have today.
Oh my God, yes.
In which you talk about racism, and then a white person will talk about how deeply racism has affected them in some way.
It makes me so sad.
Like, I am
see
so
other
sad.
People suffer for racism.
Right. Like, go ahead.
Especially when if they have racist people in their family. Oh my God, it bears me so much. I understand exactly how you feel, blah, 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 but you never say anything to that racist person in your family. Do you call them out? Well, you know, I just figured, you know, that's how they are. Really? So you want to tell me your sob story about racist people in your family, how embarrassed you are, but you don't have the balls
to do anything about it.
But it's so hard.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to watch it, but I'm definitely waiting until it comes out on DVD, because I don't think I can. If I'm in a movie theater, I'm going to get up and walk out, or I'm going to cry or something, and I can't do that.
I don't know. Like, I think it's one of the best movies I've ever seen. I don't think I'll ever see it again, though.
Right,
I don't think
right.
It's not one of those movies that you can just sit through again and go, oh, this is my favorite part. No, it's a brutal, ugly film, but it's also beautiful and touching and relevant still. And I think, you know, we're so used to folks who are romanticizing slavery and, you know, sort of making light of it, that you forget the brutality of it. You forget just how horrible the institution was, and how, you know, one of my favorite Louis C.K. jokes is about, you know, when he talks about, you know, having a privilege and, you know, time travel. He talks about, well, you know, if I'm a white guy, so it's easy for me to, you know, say, oh, you know, take me to, you know, 1852 or, you know, 1920 or whatever. But, you know, like when you're black, you don't have that, like, you don't have the luxury, because, you know, you're hopping in a, you know, time machine and you know, slavery or Jim Crow. Like, I don't, take your pick.
Like, you could do like
Dave Chappelle. Like, you're really, right, you're really limited in your choices.
You can like Dave Chappelle and be a time hater and go back in time. Just
right, and just hate, yes. That's ingenious. But yeah, I mean, that's, our shit is pretty, pretty limited. And, and I think, you know, like, on today, some brought on Twitter was saying, oh, you know, like, someone made a joke about coleslaw, and she was like, oh, coleslaw eaters need to, you know, you suck, you know, we need to bring slavery back for coleslaw eaters. It's like, oh,
that's okay.
That's not really funny, but that's, not do that. But I mean, like, again, we're so far removed from it that we want to make light of it, and you, that's something you just can't. I mean, like, I feel like folks who complain about this being another slave movie aren't the same people who go, oh no, another Holocaust movie. And both are important, and both are stories, you know, there are certain stories that need to be told over and over again so that we never forget. And I think, right. I think, you know, this is it. I think this is one of those things that we don't stop, that we never stop talking about.
Because it's too many times where you have people kind of shrug off slavery. Oh, but it was so long ago.
I had a teacher once tell me slavery wasn't that bad.
Wow.
Yeah. He was like, well, they could only work so many times a year, so... Or for a specific amount of time a year, because that's when crops grow. And then, like, it took all the black kids in the class to be like, nah, they used to rent people out to other people. People were raped. People were separated from
them. Oh, my God.
It wasn't... It was... pretty much that bad. It was like the definition of that bad.
Like it didn't really get any worse than
that. You can't really get any worse than that. That's like the worst condition. Like, I don't understand. Like, the only other thing that could have made it worse is if they also had the fucking plague. Like, what the shit?
I mean, there's something there was a Nevada assemblyman not too long ago who was in the news for saying that if his constituents
wanted to bring back slavery, right. I would fight against him.
He would hold his nose.
I agree with my constituents. Motherfucker, right. You are the devil.
Wait, but he made it a point of saying, I will hold my nose, but I'd have to, you know, I'd have to vote
no, you to don't.
Bring back. Poo-poo on you.
Right. You don't
like, wrong. That's like okay, like, remember when Obama was running for president the first time and people were like, oh my God, if we get a black president, white people are going to be slaves. Really? Seriously? Oh, yeah. It's going to be that bad?
Oh yeah.
That bad? Really?
Mm-hmm. But you see the same, you know, sort of parallels in the gun control conversation, even though your president has made really no noise about, you know, he's made little noise about, like, you know, gun restrictions or whatever. The first thing that happened was the NRA sort of coming out and, you know, scaremongering people into joining the campaign to, you know, keep their guns.
Well, everything since Obama's been president is, oh my God, it's going to be like slavery. Because nobody understands how fucking scary and horrible and awful slavery was.
Right.
Well, yeah. There are people that understand, but... some people don't seem to understand because they've never had to experience or never had to hear about their family's experiences. Because if you think about it, like, like my family history on one side of my family, we can trace back, no, on both sides of my family, we can trace back up to slavery and then it kind of stops.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you get varying degrees of stories. Like you have the great however many grand uncle who had to fight in whatever war, who had to fight in the Civil War to get freedom. Oh no, we had a relative who fought in the Revolutionary War for freedom. So ooh, yay for him.
But mm-hmm.
Like, even my family that's not, even the part of my family that's not even from the U.S., it starts in slavery. Like, people do not understand how deep and how bad that shit is.
Right. Like, these people was... like, it was working from sun up to sun down every day.
Backbreaking work. And if they didn't meet the quota, then they got whipped. If they went to get a bar of soap, they got whipped. If
somebody just wasn't feeling them that day, they got whipped.
Right. Whipped.
So, like, it was one scene in 12 Years a Slave where a guy was picking cotton and he fell out and died.
Yeah, they worked you to death. And also, have you... My grandfather used to have a cotton plant in his house because his father... was it Pops? I think it may have been Pops. Worked on a cotton farm. He was paid to work on a cotton farm because this was post-slavery. And a cotton plant is not as soft as it looks.
No, it's not.
The inside of that bitch will cut the shit out of you.
And I love the fact that in a movie they made it a point to sort of zoom in on the calloused, you know, like cut hands and the fingers and the fingertips.
Or and how they show the white indentured servant trying to pick the cotton, and he kept, you know, getting his hand cut. Talking about, oh, this hurts, and everybody just looking at him like,
yeah, you don't say.
You know, but yeah, like so the guy fell out and died, and somebody came up and threw water on him, one of the overseers, and then overseers start beating him, talking about, get up, get up. And I'm like, dude is dead. He just fell out. Because what? I don't know what area they was in, but everybody was sweating buckets.
Yeah, no. It's ridiculous. So ridiculous.
And that was them standing still, sweating buckets like that. So imagine having to work and pick cotton all day.
Yeah. Yeah. People just don't understand the severity of it. But we've been on a sad topic for a while. This is why I wanted to end on freaking Thor.
Yeah.
Because I knew this was going to bring things down. So did you guys also see, did you guys like wind down and see Thor this weekend?
I wanted to and didn't get a chance to.
You. Why?
Yeah, I stopped see, the first Thor happened. Movie, so.
Well, Melissa, we've come to expect this.
You know, the first Thor movie came out 2 years ago.
Right. It's on Netflix, so, you know, any day now is what I'm going to
say. It's been on Netflix for like a year.
Yeah.
Been a year.
Been a year.
See,
so.
My mistake was watching Thor before 12 years.
Ooh, not a good idea.
Because
you probably should watch it after.
Heffa over there by the name of Jamie texted me.
What?
Wow. When I was about to go in the movie theater, talk about, hey, you want to watch 12 years?
Today? Yeah, I was just like, oh.
And I'm like, I'm about to go in to see Thor. So you just going to make my end of my day just.
Yeah, I'm going to drag down your day.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so, Thor. Pretty much, it's okay. It's not great. It's not terrible. It was entertaining. The part that I liked the most, though, was Frigga. Because Frigga's badass.
I was actually surprised at how much more, I guess, airtime they gave to all the lady characters.
They did give a lot of airtime for the lady characters. I think it's because... Here's the thing. I think there was an original idea there that they scrapped, and you can see it. Because I think they were initially going to try and make there be a love triangle between Sif and... Sif.
Well, normally there is.
Right.
Yeah,
and like, they looked like they were trying to set it up, but then at some point they were like, nah, this probably isn't the best idea, and kind of dropped it.
I think what they're doing is, if they're doing another movie, is they're setting that up for the next movie.
Yeah, but...
Because like I said, in the Thor story, it's naturally there.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. So... I feel like this movie suffers from the same thing the first movie suffered from, in that it has this big world and this big universe or whatever. And there's like, it just, it's so epic. It has such an epic history that I can't live up to it. Because although I enjoyed myself, I still felt like it wasn't quite as exciting as I expected it to be.
Oh, I disagree.
Yeah,
really?
I disagree also. I thought that, one, I thought this was slightly better than the first one. And I thought that the action and the excitement around it made more sense in this movie than it did in the first one.
How so?
I guess because I guess from my perspective, a lot of the stories around Thor is him going around trying to protect Asgardia and the Nine Realms, and just going planet to planet, whatever they call it, realm to realm, you know.
The Nine Realms, yeah.
Yeah, trying to solve issues that are coming up. And you always have in the background, you know, some race from one of the realms acting up. And you always have Loki in the background trying to take advantage of the fact that they're trying to solve this other issue in another realm. So the second movie made more sense to me.
Okay, I can see that. I did like the fact that Heimdall got to do action stuff.
Yes!
I appreciated the shit out of that.
And he got to talk more.
Yeah, and he got to talk more. Because, like, Heimdall's a cool-ass character. He's just fucking cool. So it was cool to actually see him do something. But one of the things I feel... I don't know. I feel like it almost lived up. Maybe I hyped it up too much, but I feel like it suffers from the same thing. I put it on Twitter today that I feel like it suffers from the same thing Superman suffers from, only it does it slightly better, is that you have this alien guy with these superhuman powers, right? And he's all super badass and whatever. And he's trying to be a good guy. And I don't care. It's very hard.
So wait. What I got from that is you didn't like Man of Steel.
I did not like Man... Look, I said
oh,
before.
My God, I don't even know who you are anymore.
I liked... The part I liked on Man of Steel is when they were on Krypton. That part was really cool. When they got to Earth, I wanted Lois Lane to sit her ass on the ground and stay there. Stop falling off shit. I wanted... Superman's dad to not have fucking died in a tornado. I'm so mad at that still. If you are a superhuman being, right, and your dad is about to get sucked up in a tornado, I don't care if he shakes his head no, don't save me, you fucking save your dad. That was the stupidest way to die I have ever seen in my life.
At least a heart attack make more sense.
Right! Like if you had a heart attack, deal. If like...
They did right, because you can't...
If Superman had been off somewhere and then somebody came and tried to rob the house and accidentally killed Dad and Mom hid in the cupboard, like, that I would understand. But it was a tornado, and you're right there. You could totally save me. And I'm just going to shake my head. No, I'm going to get... No, son. I'm going to get sucked up by this tornado. The only source of income in this household, I'm going to get sucked up by this tornado so that you don't have to live in shame. No, you better come get me.
But anyway,
getting back to Thor. Yeah, so Dark like, world, it's very hard so, for me. Like, I understand, no, but no, this movie did better in the fact that we were on Asgard, so I felt like it was easier to connect with Thor in Asgard, because then he's just like a regular person, whereas Thor on Earth, he's just like a weirdo with super
right. powers. Yeah, I agree.
Which you mentioned multiple times.
He's pretty. I like that line that Kat Dennings had that was like, look at you, still all muscly and stuff. That's how I felt.
But anyway, I also like that that Loki...
I like the fact that the Ninth Doctor was the villain in this.
Yes. Also, Adebisi was there.
Yes, he was. I completely disagree with Deanna in its entirety. I enjoyed Thor.
I enjoyed it too, but I just feel like it wasn't... I felt like there was something missing. Okay.
I don't know what the hell you expect from movies, honestly.
Okay, no. Okay.
Without y'all interrupting me again?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We can't even hear you, so we didn't
Why
know
did
we interrupted
not
you.
Say anything then? Okay, you know what? Jesus.
Now's your time. Go.
No, Fresh. Not now's. You know what? Forget it. Go ahead. if y'all didn't hear me, why didn't y'all not say anything?
Because we didn't know you weren't saying anything.
How do we know that we don't hear you?
Every other time y'all say, oh, you super low or something. Jesus.
No, there was literally nothing. There was nothing.
No, right. It's not like you were too low. How do we know we don't hear you?
I don't know. Y'all just talking over me all the time. So, hell.
I'm sorry. Different shit.
Y'all want me to play goddamn intro or outros. Fuck talking.
Right.
So, yes. Can y'all hear me now?
Yes. Well, yeah. We're talking to you.
Right. What'd you tell us?
I was just trying to say, I was glad that Loki was more Loki in this one, because he a smart aleck, and he was just making, he had the best one-liners.
Okay. I had an issue with him and Kat Dennings' dialogue in the show, because I felt like they were trying too hard to do the Joss Whedon dialogue, and it wasn't coming off well.
Yeah, I liked it.
But, like, also, the two characters were played by the two people I love most in the world, so I was willing to let it go.
That, too.
Can I just say that when Loki lost his mom, I felt that. I was like, I know he's going to flip out when this happens.
Okay, which one? The part where he moves all the furniture, really?
Yeah.
Really?
The part where he's in the cell, he does that quick burst of explosion, and then when Thor comes in,
okay, that's
drop the axe, and you see this the complete devastation of his cell.
That's the part that got me, where it was like he has like the fake him talking, and everything's all neat, and then when Thor's like, okay, like I know you're fucking around, and he kind of drops it, and you see like he's been stepping in wine and shit, like dude, that part, yeah, that was pretty deep. Also, there was another part. Hold on. I did like the part where Thor went back after everything was over and Jane was sitting there eating cereal. And she's like, he kind of committed, like, he should be back any day now, blah, 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 blah. He kind of committed treason. Oh, shit. Yeah, he's not going to be back for a while.
Right. See, I didn't really like that part because she's just sitting at home waiting for Thor. It's like, you're a fucking scientist with a job. And live your life.
Have you seen?
He's a god who clearly has God's powers who can see you anywhere on the fucking planet at any moment in time. He'll find you.
Okay, you got a point, but I was just going to say, but look at him with that long, flowing black hair and the my muscles.
God. And all muscly and stuff.
But yeah, that is true, because he could just, you know, look down, you know, talk to Heimdall like, hey, where my girl at?
Exactly, which is what he's been doing for the past 2 years any fucking way.
Right.
Creepy, by the way.
That's how they figured out something was wrong, is he went to Heimdall and was like, yo, Heimdall, what's up with my girlfriend? Oh, shit, I don't know, dog, she disappeared. Fuck, now I gotta go to Earth. But yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I'm looking forward more and more to Captain America, though.
Really?
Yeah. I thought, like...
Did you see the trailer?
Yeah. The trailer is what's getting me, because I was like, Captain America... I was like, I'm not going to see anything until... Like, I was like, I'll see Thor because my husband's in it. But I'm really not going to watch any of the Marvel movies until the next Avengers comes out, and then I'll like marathon them on DVD and watch the next Avengers. But watching the trailer for Captain America, it looks like it may be actually really good.
Yes, because they bring it in the Winter Soldier storyline. I swear
and
to
it,
God.
It feels like it's, because like Thor and Iron Man don't really, it feels like Thor and Iron Man feel kind of disconnected from the Avengers, and I feel like Captain America feels more connected to the Avengers because it's incorporating S.H.I.E.L.D. and Black Widow and all that stuff. And so, like, and also this movie's trying to make me like Anthony Mackie. Y'all know how I feel about Anthony Mackie.
What is it with you, Anthony Mackie?
Anthony Mackie is only ever in a movie to be a terrible impression of Tupac or to be somebody's black best friend.
So are you not a fan?
No, I'm not.
Really am. Quick question. Does one have to watch the first Captain America to watch the second one? Or can one just catch the second one?
Melissa, I think the first one's on Netflix. Melissa.
I'm speaking to my cue.
Melissa.
Oh, yeah, what's up?
One of these days, we're going to sync up and we're going to do a Netflix, a Marvel marathon, okay? And we're going to live tweet it.
I eventually watched Avengers.
Right, because you eventually watched Avengers. Look. Eventually. We have Avengers.
I feel this strong urge coming on to nerd check Melissa, and I'm trying not to.
Two years later, she watched it. I mean, she took her time.
But. Melissa, when it comes to, Melissa likes to read comic books, and she likes to read books, and watch Real Housewives of Atlanta or whatever.
Yes, I do. It's very good.
But when
Sorry, what's up?
But when it comes to like the Marvel movies and things like that, she really doesn't care. She'd rather read the comic. I get Melissa. But sometimes it's like, Melissa, no. Experience this. And she's like,
I feel like it's a compliment sandwich.
We got two good things and we're going to wedge a bad thing in between there.
Okay, hold on. Jamie, are you still doing Zodiac slander on Twitter?
Yeah, I might be. Bitch, I might be.
Hate you. Hate you.
The truth must be told. So.
All right. Is there anything else we want to talk about, ladies?
I think we about covered
Jamie's
it.
Freaking yeah. Zodiac slander.
Don't pay any attention to Jamie.
Everybody's getting it. Everybody.
Wait. What are you again, Jamie?
Never mind that. We're not going to talk about that.
Is January what? 4th again is the birthday?
January 5th.
January 5th. You see a sign.
Jamie's birthday is a month after mine, and her birth year is 10 years before mine. I will never forget Jamie's birthday.
So what is that? Is that Capricorn?
Is it even a sandwich? She just called you old.
I don't know. That's why I said Google it. It's the quickest way to find out. I don't know for sure.
I'm a Sagittarius. There you go.
You're not a Sagittarius.
Oh, the hell you aren't. I know what Sagittarius is. You are
not
that.
Don't slander my sign. Don't you dare.
Too late. I kind of already slandered it on the timeline. I've been busy.
Oh, you a Capricorn. Yeah. Stubborn ass motherfuckers.
What did you say about Scorpios? I'm super curious.
I said Scorpios are the types to slash your tires and then blame the help.
Okay. Now Scorpios like to slash your tires and then say, "Yeah, I did it. Now what?
What you gonna do about it?"
Right, that's the Scorpio.
I'm not gonna lie, Sagittarians are crazy. We're moody. We're moody people.
See, as a Virgo, I would never slash your tires.
That's some bullshit. I already said that Virgos are the types that you'll catch them slashing the tires and
they'll deny it and then blame you for spying.
And blame you for spying. Why are you spying on me?
What?
Why are you spying on me while I do damage to your property? How dare you?
First of all, your tires being slashed would look like an accident, ma'am. I wouldn't.
What?
And then I said Geminis would slash your tires while listening to Kim and draw a picture of Basquiat on the windshield, and then they'll blame their other half.
Okay, your Sagittarius tweet is kind of accurate, though.
Yeah, I know it is, because you motherfuckers are cray.
We are. All right, anyway, I guess we're going to say right. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Say bye. Please bye. Remember that we will be taking a break on the last week of November.
Yep.
Next week's episode will be our last episode.
Uh-huh. Was it? Or the week after? Oh, darn it.
No. We're taking the week after, we're not doing a show, right?
I thought the last week was
Whatever is the week of Thanksgiving.
The last week is the 26th. That's 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yep.
And we're not going to be doing a show that day.
Right.
So next week is the last week.
Dun, 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 dun.
You act like you're not going to get on a hangout in like a couple weeks and do a secret show. You know we're going to do it.
Yeah, that's probably
true. Look, y'all do a secret show. Make sure that the freaking file size is small.
I'll try really hard.
All right, we are still live, people. We are still live.
I'm sorry. Bye, guys. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Woo! Bye. Later, people.